Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Green Room Podcast. I'm Matthew Brunan, and joining me once again is Colin Mitchell. Colin, why are you so happy today?
It's just when you said hello, you went, opened up your eyes really wide, and I had to kind of caught me off guard and wasn't ready.
I have a ring light in front of me, so it's kind of at times, especially late at night. We're recording this at 11:16 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to really get your eyes going, you know, make sure they're visible to people. If not, then it's kind of just like lazy, if that makes sense. So,
okay.
Yeah, we've been talking for like 30 minutes on here, Colin. We got on at 10:45.
We did.
We've been talking about our brackets. We've been talking about our plans with this podcast, which we'll get into. But who do you have winning the NCAA tournament, Colin? We're just going straight into it.
Listen, I got Kansas State over Kansas in the final, 79-75. The three seed topples the defending champ. And the Cinderella story of the whole year, unranked Kansas State, who's supposed to be the worst team in their conference, comes to win.
Imagine Jareen Dowling's Instagram story.
I know.
They win the national championship. He might do it like a marathon. It might be 24 straight hours of a live stream.
Yes. I mean, I think everyone remembers how crazy he went on social media after they won against Purdue. Like imagine that times like 80.
A billion. Like, yeah, he's gonna have a portable charger plugged in.
Yeah.
Just going. Not even.
He's gonna have like a belt with battery packs.
Exactly.
Plug another one in.
Exactly. Just going. Reem will go 24 straight hours if they win the national. And I don't even blame him. I will drive to Houston to party with Reem if they win the national title. That's my promise to you, the American people.
Looks right into the camera and says,
that is my promise to you.
Thank you.
Okay, but anyways, I have UConn over Alabama.
Yep,
in mine. Colin's trying to poke holes in mine.
Well, it's because you poked holes in mine, and then I just
it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I came back with the same exact stat.
UConn's gonna do it. Alabama. Everybody's picking Alabama. Can't do it. Can't do it. I want someone to pick Arizona or someone else to come out of that region.
I think
95% of people are on Alabama.
The last like three of the 5 years ago, I picked Arizona to win it all. Just never happened.
Oh, that's all right. I think that's who Grant will have winning it all too. I think Grant has Kansas State or Arizona winning it all in his bracket.
Or Baylor.
All his friends. Yeah, oh, Baylor.
That's true. Yeah, it's definitely Baylor or Kansas State.
Yeah.
Or Tech.
Don't jump too far ahead. Okay. For those watching, well, I guess watching or listening, we are now officially a part of the Dave Campbell's Texas Football on the Podcast Network. I want to thank all of them over there for welcoming us, for tweeting about us, for all that good stuff. You know, Mike Craven, Ishmael Johnson, Greg Tepper, Ashley Pickle, the whole gang, Mallory Hartley, all of them. I'm forgetting plenty of people, I'm sure. Greg Powers does their recruiting now. All of them. We are just a very small part of their podcast network that has, you know, Texas Tech, UTSA, Baylor, go down the list of podcasts that they have. But they have a North Texas one now, Colin, and we are responsible for that branch. And I feel like it's a big responsibility because 2 years ago we canceled our podcast and you went your separate ways and I was like went my separate ways. But here we are.
Make it sound so negative, like there was like some animosity. Brittany and I got in a fight, okay?
We went our separate ways. And then this year we said, hey, man, let's just do it. Let's start the podcast. And we're back, and now we're with Dave Campbell's. So shout out to them. With this partnership, if you want to call it that, our audio feed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Colin, our audio feed will be on the Dave Campbell's Texas Football website and their podcast feed, so you can check out the audio side on that. On YouTube, we will continue to post on to our YouTube, so it's the audio if you are an audio listener, or maybe if you go back and forth or whatever, our audio will be on the Dave Campbell's Texas Football podcast feed. I believe it's just the Republic of Football Texas or Republic of Football podcast feed.
Yes.
So check that out. We'll have links in the description. I'll start doing that more, but yeah, that's the audio side. Video side, I believe, will mostly stay the same on YouTube. So we're still figuring this out. But yeah, that's pretty much our whole situation, right, Colin? Did I miss anything?
Yeah. One podcast will go on Republic of Football, if I understand correctly. Podcast, and then if we do any extras, like if something happens and it's outside of Dave Campbell's, then that'll be on ours, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We have one a week, and this is going to be a, this is going to be a long podcast. We're doing at least 40 minutes of podcasting every week for Dave Campbell's. So that will be over there. I already told Colin that's going to be mostly football. I know they've said we can do some basketball, but big picture basketball stuff is going to be on YouTube and our podcast side. I think that's what we're going to do most of it. So if we get Grant McCaslin or Ross Hodge for an interview, I think we're going to do that mostly on our side and just focus on football, because that is where we're under, is the Republic of Football umbrella. So I think that's everything. Shout out to Dave Campbell's for welcoming us on. And yeah, Colin, we can get into it now.
Yeah, we actually have to have like an itinerary of what we're going to go over. You know, we're official now.
I know.
We no longer wing it.
We can't just ramble there for 10 minutes and then be like, oh yeah, we were talking about this. Like, yeah. Okay, so we're actually official now. So yeah, we're writing it out. Now, I will say, we said we're not going to talk about basketball on this podcast as much. We can dabble. We can dabble, Colin. And we're recording this on Wednesday night, like I said. North Texas beat Alcorn State 69-53. If you haven't already, go check out the last podcast we did talking about the NIT, talking about our expectations, our goals. North Texas won 69-53. I have a friend who had bet North Texas minus 17. And I don't know if you watched the last second. Alcorn State makes a layup at the last second to cover the spread. So Alcorn covers. Sam Houston State wins on the road. So we will have a North Texas versus Sam Houston State game. I believe that will be at the Super Pit because North Texas is the 2 seed. What are your thoughts on the game? You watched it. I was not. I was at AAU practice. Shout out to Red Thorn Baton Rouge.
AAU practice.
What did you think?
I think the early they looked a little, you know, slow to start. Obviously, you know, it as they always do, you know, 9 points through 8 minutes, whatever you want to call it. However, it looked like a lot of the looks are coming easy. I mean, Tyler Perry was getting a lot of penetration. There was a lot of passing. They had a season high 17 assists tonight. I believe second on the season was 14 assists when I did when I looked that up. So I loved that. But if they want to continue to make a run in this tournament, I need them to make the shots. I mentioned they had 17 assists, but they only shot 31% from three and only 44% from the field. And that doesn't sound that bad, but when you see the kind of shots they were shooting and that didn't fall, I need more of those to fall. Kai went 2 of 7. Ruben went, I have to scroll down on my thing.
I got you. Let me see.
2 of 6. And then Abu went 2 of 5 and he only played 12 minutes tonight. So they did a lot more running, so that might be why Abu didn't play as much with 13 fast break points. But I love the looks they were getting. They just need to fall.
And you mentioned those shooting percentages, and they're like, oh, well, they still scored 69 points. The problem is you played Alcorn State, who we've said it on the podcast, is the second worst team of this tournament.
And they were missing 31 points per game in players tonight. Yeah, so three players didn't show up with coach's decision. The other one had an injury. So the fact that the game was close early kind of concerned me. But it, like I said, it looked like they were kind of coasting. But we need to see that ramped up when you play a better defensive team like Sam Houston State.
And that's my point, is that now they play Sam Houston State, who just beat Santa Clara on the road 58-56. A good win for Sam Houston, who is now jumped up to the 13th ranked defense in KenPom. I believe that's up like 7 spots from where they were previously. So we have it's going to be a defensive slugfest. I don't know. KenPom says it's Sam Houston State home, but I thought it was North Texas was home. I have no idea. But regardless, it doesn't really matter to me who's home. It's going to be just a straight defensive clinic. And North Texas, like you said, is going to have to actually make shots. This is a team that would have finished fourth in Conference USA. Like, they would have finished – like, they're above UAB. Or no, they're not. I'm sorry. They're slightly below UAB and KenPom.
Yeah.
Like, this would have been the fourth best team in Conference USA this year. So, you know, Middle Tennessee, Charlotte, all teams North Texas has struggled with at times. This Sam Houston State team is better.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. I think you bring up good points. They're going to have to make shots. Bottom line, they're going to shoot better than they did tonight. And as much as I enjoy, you know, Kai being aggressive, 5 assists to 0 turnovers, so good for him there. You got to put the ball in the hole.
Yeah, and just to kind of cap that off, with the slower game, we are going to see Abu be more effective on the floor, and Sissoko. There was an alley-oop that he just, like, didn't really catch, and then he had a perfect pass from Kai. His hands are not great is what I'm trying to say. So if he's going to play instead of Abu, he needs to be able to score when he has easy chances. So Abu and Sissoko, I think, are going to be going forward, especially against Sam Houston State, and what's going to be a slower game, and they're going to get the ball a majority of the time in the paint. They need to show up and do a lot with the minutes that they get.
Big game.
Big game.
Big game. Got to win.
Yep, I agree.
Got to win.
Especially when you have other large seeds knocked out. Rutgers is gone. Clemson is gone. Oklahoma State almost lost to Youngstown State. Listen, tournament's wide open.
Yep.
And as we talked about, you hang an NIT banner, that means a lot. That means a lot.
It's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, considering last year it was Xavier and Texas A&M playing in the championship game.
Yeah.
And Xavier's a 3 seed, A&M's a 7 seed. I'm not saying that's going to be North Texas trajectory, but it means something. I think if you go over the past like 5 or 6 years of NIT champions, like you're up there with programs like Xavier, like A&M, like, I mean, those caliber of teams. So yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. All right. Anything else on the basketball side before we move on?
Don't think so. Unless you want to talk about Grant.
Oh, Grant McCaslin, Colin. Yep. Why not? We're on Dave Campbell's. We're on the Texas umbrella now.
Yeah,
we gotta get the Texas Tech people. I think they're the Gunning Gauchos. I think that's what they're called. Got to get them on the podcast.
It's a good idea.
Just start talking mess with them about Grant McCaslin and all this.
Are y'all ready for the slowest offense ever?
If he ends up going there, we're just gonna get them on and they're gonna ask us questions. It's gonna be a giant Q&A. Obviously, for those who don't know, Texas Tech and Mark Adams parted ways last week, I believe it was.
Yeah, March 8th is, I believe, the
okay, there
the
you go, a was. Week ago. And as soon as that happened, everyone throws in Grant McCaslin's name automatically. And it makes sense because when Chris Beard left Texas Tech, everyone was throwing out Grant McCaslin's name. When Oklahoma came up, Grant McCaslin's name was thrown in there. Obviously, he didn't get either of those positions. Last year, the only name that I think McCaslin was considered for, at least to my memory, was SMU.
I believe so.
I don't remember another one, but that was that. And we had, I don't know if it was on this podcast or where it was, but I was told that, you know, SMU didn't even, like, it never really approached the levels to where North Texas was concerned.
Right.
Like, it never got there. But this is different. So this is Texas Tech. And I think it was, I don't remember who it was that threw out the three names. If it was Goodman, Lenardi, I don't know. Someone tweeted out the three names, and it was Grant McCaslin, Andy Kennedy, and
Paul Mills. I think
Paul
his name
Mills.
Was? Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the three. All great candidates, in my opinion, for a Texas Tech job. I think those would all be great hires. So I don't think Grant McCaslin is a slam dunk here. I think he might have a 30% chance of getting it, but this isn't going to be the last job that approaches him this offseason, especially if they win a game or two more in the IT. So what are your concerns when it comes to this Texas Tech job? Do you think that he's an actual contender here? And does that scare you?
I would say where there's smoke, there's fire, and the smoke has been kind of coming for the last 3 years or so. And you and I have talked off podcast. Texas Tech is like one of those jobs where it's called the job, right?
Yeah.
You have a fan base that's supporting you. It has rich history. And on top of that, he's going to be at that top echelon of basketball, which is obviously every coach's goal. UNT, on the other hand, although it's on the up and up, Texas Tech kind of offsets UNT struggles. So fan base, for example, you don't have the super pit packed every time. Texas Tech, that place is going to be full and motivated to be there. Same thing with resources. Obviously, again, North Texas has been on the up and up, but the super pit doesn't compare to whatever Texas Tech has in terms of facilities. So right there, you already have the jump. Now, obviously, it depends on how much McCaslin cares about moving to the AAC and wanting to, you know, stick with his guys, because obviously we know he's very loyal. In terms of me being worried, I mean, I think it's you never look at Texas Tech as like a top job, right? Like, you know, if a coach is good at Texas or North Texas, that they're going to end up leaving. Now, it's if they leave that program in a good place. And I think this program is in the best place it's ever been, ever. So, I mean, I couldn't ask for any. If Grant left right now, I'd be like, okay, cool. We're in a great spot. Get the next guy in here.
Yeah. I mean, I can't ask for anything more here. It's literally, this team has continued to get better. This program has continued to get better. They have historic wins, historic seasons. I mean, at this point, if I'm Grant and I can get a Texas Tech job, I mean, I'm going. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's just
no, of course.
I mean, I think I don't even know what the pay difference is. Like, that's probably three times as much as what he's making. I think he's at 1.1 or 1.2 at North
Something
Texas,
like that, yeah.
Which is a hell of a lot of money. But Texas Tech is the type that will pay basketball coaches $3 million plus.
Yeah.
Like, they will do that. I don't know what Mark Adams was making. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure he would be making in that range. And then you look at it. I mean, look who else would be in the conference. Scott Drew and Jerome Tang. Like, he'd be coaching with, like, against them.
Yep.
I feel like that would matter to me. Like, yeah, the guys that I came up with, was on the bench with, all got these jobs at Baylor. I mean, obviously, Drew's been there forever, but Baylor. And then you see what Tang's doing at Kansas State with Ream. Like, if I could go to Tech and be in the same league as those guys on a program that made the national title game in 2019.
Yeah.
This isn't a conversation.
No, not at all.
I'm sorry, it's not. But, okay, I think most North Texas fans understand that. I think most North Texas fans do. And again, like I said, there's probably a 30% chance that Texas Tech ends up hiring him or, you know, pursues him as the lead dog. I think there will be other schools. I'm not going to throw out a name, but there will be other schools that will reach out and contact him. Sure. If he does leave, I don't think there will be any animosity from North Texas fans. I think most of them are very happy with where it is. The question becomes is then where do they go from there? And I don't even want to get into it too deep because we're not at that point yet. But obviously Ross Hodge, and then you kind of go from there. If it's not Ross Hodge, then it becomes an interesting decision because it's not Ren Baker there anymore.
Right.
It's Jared Mosley.
First hire of the new AD.
First hire of the new AD. So does he want to make a splash? You know, Ross Hodge is the safe pick. It's probably the right pick. But does he want to go big? That's what we'll have to see. It's an interesting situation there, one that I thought I'd bring up. But I think that covers it pretty well for us. I think that covers everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Let's talk football because that's what we're here for.
Yep.
It's our job, Colin. It's our job.
Under the football umbrella.
We gotta clock in.
Yep.
Clock in and clock out. I want to do two things today.
Okay.
First, I want to, before spring football starts for North Texas, I want to review what we know about this team or what we think we know about this team. And then at the end, I want to go over what we want to learn about this team during spring. And while we are not on hand as we used to be, we still have sources in the building. We still got Reed Smith, who we're going to have on and off, and people who cover the team on as well. So we'll have plenty of information coming in. But at this moment, we're blind. We don't know anything about, you know, anything for the most part.
Right.
All we know is the returners on this team. And there are a lot of them, Colin. We were talking about this off air, and I think we've talked about it before. It's kind of crazy that they didn't have this, like, exodus when Latrell left. When the whole coaching staff, I mean, got fired, pretty much.
Patrick Cobb's still there.
Shout out Patrick Cobbs. Clay Jennings is also back. I don't know if y'all remember him from a few years ago. DB's coach. So they got those guys, which I think is big. But you look at almost every position, there are returners. Like, I don't know which position. So let's start. What, you want to start offense? Let's start offense.
Yeah, let's go offense.
And let's start quarterback because why not? Why the hell not? Obviously, Chandler Rogers is expected to come in and win the job from Louisiana Monroe, right?
Yeah.
That's what we did a whole podcast on. You can go watch that podcast. Chandler Rogers is quarterback one until otherwise indicated. Also in the room is still Grant Gunnell, Stone Earl, Jace Reuter, and J.D. Head. For those listening on the audio side, I'm holding up four fingers.
Jax Warren, you forgot him too.
Is he a walk-on? He's probably a walk-on because I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember freshman.
Signing him. don't remember them signing him unless if I'm wrong.
Number 98, so I'm assuming a walk-on.
He's a walk-on. Colin, you just read me off a quarterback that's number 98.
Yeah, I did.
Don't ever do that again.
But he's in the room. He's in the room.
He's not in the room. Okay. So, again, but still, we're at 5 scholarship quarterbacks. Okay?
Yeah.
What do we make of the quarterback room? What do we know about the quarterback room?
Well, we know that they couldn't beat out Osnani except for Chandler Rogers, because we obviously haven't seen him play.
Yeah.
Here's all I'm going to say. Chandler Rogers better come in, and there better not be any controversy about whose job this is. Because I am tired of there being a competition. I'm tired of having 5 guys in the room, 4 guys in the room, who it's like anybody can come out and play. It better be Chandler Rogers, and if it's not Chandler Rogers, it better be, I better see some otherworldly stuff from whoever this is. Either whether that be Greg Ganell, Jace Reuter.
Remember Stone Earl was used in Wildcat packages last year?
Right.
Are you against that? Are you against the Wildcat?
I mean, do you want to not throw?
Okay. Look, I agree with you. I think Chandler Rogers needs to come in and be quarterback one. If this team is actually going to be good, I think it needs to be Chandler Rogers, because apparently Grant Gunnell came in and did not impress Seth Luttrell. He didn't impress Mike Blesch.
Okay.
However, obviously Grant Gunnell was the most highly touted of the group. I mean, Jace Reuter obviously as well. I mean, whatever happened with that. But Grant Gunnell is 6'6", was slinging it in high school, went to Arizona, Memphis. Like, he's a guy with an arm.
Right. Okay.
He's the only one I could see competing with Chandler Rogers.
I agree.
Like I said, Stone Earl's like a Wildcat quarterback, whatever. To me, it's going to be Rogers 1, Gunnell 2, and then whoever the heck else you want at 3-5. But I think that needs to be the pecking order going into spring. Like, that's just my opinion on it. So when we talk about what we know or what we think we know about this team, it has to be Chandler Rogers as the quarterback.
Yep.
That's just what it has to be. And if that's not the case, and Eric Morris is kind of wishy-washy on it, I think I will be a little concerned.
Yeah.
Just a little. Not big. It's year one, and, you know, he's trying to figure out what he has on the team. He hasn't coached any of these guys before. It's not like he's coming over here with a quarterback, which he did at Washington State. Like, he's going to learn all these guys, but I think he brought Chandler Rogers in for a reason. I think Chandler Rogers is here for a reason, and it's to start.
Yep, I agree.
All right, running back, Colin. Let's run through it, because this is really impressive. They return everybody, basically. Oscar Adway, Isaiah Johnson, BK Jackson, Quillon Farrar, Akaika Ragsdale, Iowa Dayi. They return everybody. And if Oscar Adway obviously was hurt last year, so you get him back. Quillon Farrar was a freshman. He's kind of a little gadget type back that can do a little bit of everything. Akaika Ragsdale emerged onto the scene. Iowa Dayi, 2 straight years of being a productive back. What do we know about this unit?
We know that it's been the backbone of North Texas for the last 3 years, basically since Mason Fine left. So if there's a position group I'm not concerned about going into this season, it is this group, because they can, like you said, they've all played, they've all done well. And, you know, Oscar Adley was injured last year. They still produced with Ragsdale and Adeyi. So I'm not concerned at all regarding this group. If anything, I think this is going to be the group that they're going to lean on if, you know, they do have to kind of figure. I mean, with Chandler Rogers, whoever's at quarterback learning the offense, this is going to be, I think, in the immediate future, the backbone of what North Texas is going to be doing.
And it's so interesting to me that all the running backs ended up staying, even though Luttrell and Blesch went to Cal, I believe, and with Asher Alberding. But it is interesting to me that they all stayed. It is. Yeah. I don't know what exactly. Obviously, Patrick Cobb staying is a big reason for that, right? Like, I want to give him credit in this. But the trust that they have in Eric Morris, I think, is evident at this position, especially. So, I mean, because there's 5 of them.
Yeah.
There's so many backs. Like, if I'm any of these guys and I'm thinking like, oh, man, I'm going to go play at Texas Southern or I'm going to go play at Texas State. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You could very well, like, make a logical argument to say I want to go get more playing time in a less crowded room and I want to go to X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
College. None of them have done that yet. There is a second portal window in May. Maybe one or two of them do. I don't know. But, like, At this point, it's very impressive that none of them did. Now, receiver. Let's run through the names here because, again, it's a lot of familiar names. Tommy Bush, Damon Ward, Jamori Macklin, Travion Brown, Rod Burns, who I thought was out of eligibility, but I guess he's not if you want to click that.
But I guess he's not.
Jordan Smart, Jair Shorter, Dorian Morris. They get Trey Cleveland in here from Texas Tech. And I believe, I don't know which, Kalen Horton is back. Ziggler McMillan's back. Yeah, there you go. That's a group of receivers there. I don't know, because last year, or the last 2 years, the pass game has been so limited.
Yeah.
And this is where Eric Morris is going to show us what he's capable of.
Yep.
Right? This is like the quarterback position, yes. Cool, whatever. Whoever starts, Chandler Rogers, whatever. This is where it's going to have the biggest impact, is that receiver. Because if Tommy Bush, who has had his injuries, I'm not saying he hasn't, same with Jair Shorter, but more so Bush. If Bush and Shorter and Macklin and Brown and Burns and all these guys, if they're actually the receivers we think they are or and are capable of being, this, if Eric Morris should be able to get it out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they didn't even have to go to the portal very much. Like, they brought in Cleveland. I think they might have brought in another one more, but like, they didn't have to go very deep into the portal to like replenish this room because it's the same room as last year.
Well, the issue that we've always talked about is this team, not saying this team wasn't talented, it's that you were hampered by quarterback, and I mean, that was it, because what was this team known for? Big plays, and then faltering when it wasn't a big play. We all know these guys can make big plays. Tommy Wish has made a big play. Jair Shorter has made a big play. Obviously, Kalen Horton Tucker has made a big play. We need to see if you can get it, you know, the short passes, the medium passes. That's where we're going to see Chandler Rogers and Grant Gunnell hopefully shine more to help these receivers shine. Because if you can make that happen, this is a very, very talented wide receiver room, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think just diversity at the end of the day. Just figuring out how to attack different coverages, figuring out how to – because I think from a protection standpoint, they were in a good spot last year. And even Austin Ani, we joked about him. I mean, he completed like 55% of his passes, whatever it was, had six pick sixes and stuff. They felt very one-dimensional, and we talked about that a lot the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Eric Morris will make the biggest difference. That's where he should. This offense should not look like it did the last 2 years. Like, from a run game perspective, maybe. Cool. If you just want to keep it simple and, you know, pound the ground, cool. The pass game should look vastly different, in my opinion. And that's one thing that we'll see over spring and fall, is how different it looks. But I mean, I think the pitch to these receivers is pretty simple if you're Eric Morris and the offensive coaching staff. It's like, y'all were not utilized well enough the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's fair or not to the previous coaching staff, I don't know. But that you have a coach now that was putting up incredible numbers at Incarnate Word, went to Washington State to be the offensive coordinator, and had a very, very good season. This is where they take the next step forward here.
Yeah,
this is very, very big. We talked about it when Eric Morris was hired, the differences between him and Latrell when they took over the jobs, like how much more, I don't want to say qualified, because qualified sounds like Latrell was underqualified, which he was not, but he is proven.
Eric Morris. Right, proven in turning around a program.
Exactly. So that this is where it's going to show up, at this position specifically.
Yeah.
Tight end, real quick. Barkey's Gums, Christian Lee are the only two returners that I know of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I mean, Barkey's Gums is the one, really.
Yeah. He's going to have a great year next year, I feel like.
Jake Roberts goes to Baylor. Asher Alberding goes to Cal. So that kind of empties out the room. I think Hatib Lyles also transferred out, went to Austin Peay. So we got Barkey's Gums and Christian Lee. What do you think?
I think that Barkey's Gums is going to eat next year if Eric Morris is who we think he is, because I think that he's going to open up this offense more. It's not going to be as much as we keep saying that they're going to fall back to the running backs if they have to. If this offense is going to be better, it's going to take a jump, and Barkey's Gum is going to be a part of that. And I mean, we saw flashes last year, multiple 30-yard catches.
Yeah, I'm pulling up his season stats right now if I can get them. Because, I mean, it was kind of I don't want to say up and down, but it was, I mean, he was fourth team all conference USA by Phil Steele. I guess he was technically a redshirt freshman last year. Yeah. Redshirt 2021, redshirt freshman last year, because he was on the all conference freshman team. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. But he had, so last year he had 458 yards and 5 touchdowns as a tight end.
Really good.
As a college tight end, that is great. Especially when you consider the passing game that we've talked about, you know, for the last couple of years. Yeah. That is amazing for a tight end.
And he was able to do it after the catch as well.
Yeah.
Like we saw him several times after the catch that he was able to extend it, which is a big boost at the tight end position when you're going to have linebackers on you, safeties on you. It's just different matchups there. So Varkey's Gums is – he's a candidate. Like when people are filling out their all-conference teams preseason, Gums might be on like a lot of second teams.
Yeah.
Pretty comfortably. Like that's going to be interesting. And obviously, I don't know the American well enough yet because that's a whole different animal. But like he could be up there quite a bit. Okay. Offensive line. Ton of names here. Ton of names. I'll do some of the highlights here. Obviously, Gabe Blair is the one that I always come back to because Gabe Blair now has 2 years of starting experience. He's going to hold it down at the guard spots. Then you go around different positions like Jet Duncan is back. Damian Smallwood should be good. Dane Jackson, maybe. Cade Bond, maybe. Like there are a few more question marks at this spot. Mm-hmm. I will say Casey Marecco is back. Dazion Carroll is back. So maybe there are a few more questions here. We're not getting into the weeds of it because offensive line is such a difficult position to analyze in depth. But do you feel good about where they are?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really bring in a whole lot of guys either, which makes me feel like they're confident in this position. They did bring in Larry Moore from Texas Tech. But I feel like you obviously lose a couple guys.
Who was the Georgia Tech transfer they brought in?
Georgia Tech transfer? It was Paola Vaipulu.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess two. I guess they brought in two. Yeah, so, yeah. Two. So, yeah. Regardless, it would surprise me greatly if they stepped down a significant amount from last year because I feel like this position was in a really good spot from a top-level perspective and a developmental perspective last year.
Yeah. I remember early on in Seth Luttrell's tenure, we were very, very excited about the offensive line prospects he got. And I think rightfully so, to a degree. Obviously, some of them didn't pan out. I don't know if you remember Eric Williams.
Yeah.
Who was rated like 85-5, something like that. Didn't really pan out. There were a couple of those cases. But still, Jet Duncan, Cade Bond, like some of the guys I mentioned, it is good to have them back in the room. And I do give Luttrell and them, and Mike Blesch, credit for that, especially the Gabe Blair find, because Gabe Blair is an all-conference offensive lineman. I just don't know how many of those caliber guys they have. But still, you bring in two high-level transfers. You pair that with Gabe Blair and you know, a guy like Cole Brown, back in the mix as well, who had a lot of starts in his career. So I think it's a good group. It's a good core. If nothing else, it's good. It's good. It's a good group with experience that can complement what Morris wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, there's the offense. Let's run through the defense here. Where do we start?
Let's talk about who they lost first, which is obviously Deshaun Gatti. Katie Davis isn't here anymore. Is there anybody else that I keep?
I mean, those are the two big names. I mean, there's more, but those are the two big ones. Let's start on defensive line.
Okay.
Enoch Jackson's back. Rod Brown is back. Chris Wright's back. Mason Richards back. Fatafei Velea is back. Cortland Rawsaw, Tayshawn Johnson, Cam Robertson. It's a good group back. Now, the question I have, which is what I want to learn over the spring, is like what defensive front they run, 4-3-3-4, 4-2-5, 3-3-5. Just there's so many different variations you can run. I don't have answers to that yet. I haven't done my due diligence and seen what the defensive coordinator did at his last stop. But that's what we're going to learn over the spring. And I think that's a big deal because that kind of dictates everything. You have Rod Brown there, who was an all-conference player in Conference USA, and I think Enoch Jackson is a very talented player as well. Mm-hmm. With those two, I kind of would want to run a four down offensive line and have a guy
defensive line,
and then have a guy like Cam Robertson or Cortland Rossaw off the edge, Mason Richards as well, obviously, who was great last year.
Yeah,
have those guys. I would want a four down front in theory, but I can be swayed if you show me it, how it's done, and you can put Enoch Jackson at the nose and play from there.
I think the whole thing for me comes down to really is defensive line and linebackers together, because so often it was always one or the other faltering, like not helping each other out. And I think that at the end of the day, that just comes down to scheming and whatever else. So I want to kind of like blend those two together, because the main thing I'm looking for into coming into spring is, are they going to do the basics well? Because I feel like so often last year, like, why couldn't you tackle this guy? Why is there blown coverage? Why is a linebacker on a slot receiver? You know, those types of things. So that's what I'm looking for going to the spring. I'm not necessarily so much into the, you know, are these players, I obviously want the players to do well, but because we have all these returners, I want to see what he can do with those returners. And is it a talent issue or was it a scheme issue? So that's my main thing.
Well, that was the whole thing, is they could never figure out the defense.
Understand. Right. Ever.
They had one good year of defense when they had Brandon Gardner and EJ Ejiha, and that was 2018.
But even that year, if we remember, it was almost like Brandon Gardner and EJ Ejiha had to like come up clutch multiple times. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I think the UTSA game was one of those times, if I'm not mistaken.
It was, because we thought they were going to lose that game when we were up in the press box, and we're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to drive home sad.
Yeah. Again, a lot of returners that I like. Larry Nixon, fifth year. Kevin Wood is a senior now. I remember when he was a freshman. We're getting old. Jordan Brown, a guy who I liked a lot as a freshman, is now a junior. Sifa Leota is kind of like, they had him as like an outside linebacker hybrid type guy.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Again, it depends on what defense they run. I don't know what defense they're going to be in. Jax Van Zandt is someone they were high on. The last staff was high on. We'll see about that, but that's a pretty good freaking group of linebackers there. Even if you just say Nixon, Brown, and Wood,
mm-hmm.
like that's three solid linebackers. I'm not going to say they are Katie Davis level, but at the end of the day, we talked about this time and time again last year, was Katie Davis made a lot of tackles, but it didn't feel like his impact was felt on an every play basis or right. even every set of downs basis. And that might be completely unfair to him, because obviously he was the best player on this defense. Like, no one's taking that away from him. Like, he very well could have gone to an SEC school and been fine. The problem was, and the problem isn't with him, the problem is the fact that the rest of the defense didn't allow, or I don't want to say didn't allow him to shine, but like the rest of the defense was so up and down that he could only do so much in a lot of situations.
Not only that, too, I feel like he had to clean up a lot. It was almost like Dion Noville a couple years ago, where it's like you felt like he was the guy getting, like, catching everybody. It was the same thing with Katie Davis. It's like, okay, well, I guess Katie will have to clean that up. So I agree, though. I mean, I want to see with these three linebackers, I want to see the foundation of them build on to what Katie Davis
was doing.
Right. They're old. Like, this is where they should be at their best, right? Like, they should have no problem plugging this hole that Katie Davis left.
Exactly. And I say that about Katie Davis because it's kind of like the style of defense that they played last year allowed mm-hmm. Katie Davis to just go make every tackle, whether it was good or bad, right? For the defense, whether it was him bailing them out or not, he made all the tackles. I would love it if we had more names up there in the tackle charts instead of having one guy with 130 tackles. Like, I just feel like that would be better. I watched LSU 2 years ago with a guy named Damone Clark rack up 150 tackles. The defense wasn't any good. Like, it's just, remember early in Latrell years when Keyshawn McClain had like 100 tackles?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just like,
well, that's okay, what I'm saying. It's like he was there to clean up the mistakes or had to pick up for other areas where the defense was deficient.
Like, so. I don't know. That's an interesting point here that we're talking about with the front seven, how it's used. I don't give a damn about the stats of this front seven.
Yeah.
You know why? Because none of these guys to me are breakthrough NFL players. Like, at this point in their careers. Maybe like Rod Brown ends up being one, maybe in the future. But like none of these guys to me jump off the page and I'm like, wow, that guy looks like a player who should have 15 tackles for loss and 8.5 sacks at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like none of that matters to me. As a unit, you are North Texas. You do not have 5 and 4 star talent. You have to play well as a unit in the American because you're going to be going against UTSA with everybody back. You know, UTSA returns all three of their receivers from last year. I didn't even know that. And obviously Frank Harris. Like Memphis, you go down the list. They're going to be going against good teams. I don't give a damn about individual players. You have to look good as a team. So that's my linebacker rundown. All right, DBs. Let's do corners first. Alonzo Thompson, John Davis, Mobility, Rich Tejada are four returners there. Rich Tejada has all the expectations in the world, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm hesitant, but, like, I'm scared to put that much on him, his plate. Like, I don't want to do that.
Well, here's the issue. The defense has just been such a mess that we see individual players shine, but it doesn't, like you said, you don't feel the impact on the team. So, Katie Davis, we just brought up. I feel like Rich Tejada is another one of those. He had that game. Yeah, I think he had multiple games with two picks. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know if that's right or not, but yeah, continue.
At least I remember at least one. Regardless, it seems like he has the talent to be that guy, right? But now it's a matter of if the when the staff comes in and hopefully they're able to put it together, can he continue that and also make the impact on the defensive end instead of giving up? Like you said with the linebackers, we don't see guys jumping off the page. What we want is a competent defense that looks good, right? That you know does all the things, all the easy things well. That's what we need to see from this back line. Rich Tejada, obviously, I think is a possible guy that can jump off a page. Alonzo Thompson, I think, is another one of those guys. He's got the physical traits to do all that. 6 feet, 170 pounds.
Yeah,
I think we need to see those two guys kind of come up into their own in this defense.
Rich Tejada had 3 picks last year, but 15 pass breakups to lead Conference USA. Good times. I think 2 of those were returned for pick 6.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm remembering.
That's what it was.
That's definitely what I'm remembering.
We'll see. But yeah, that's the cornerback room. Sorry, I clicked off this. Now I have to go back to my position.
Safeties now?
Safeties. All right. Dylan Williams as a sophomore. I remember him committing. Nick Knockwash Jr. He was a transfer last year. Damon Youngblood, a redshirt freshman 2 years ago. Harold West Jr., guy I loved at a high school 3 years ago. This might be the position with the most question marks.
Especially when Deshaun Gaddy's gone, or because Deshaun Gaddy's gone.
Yeah, like whether you put Gaddy at safety or nickel, I mean, you think about it, I think what, like Keelan Crosby played a good amount still.
Yeah, he did still play a good amount.
I don't remember who I'm forgetting, but like this is a very different group here. The only one I trust off the top of my head is Harold West.
Yeah.
And the rest of these guys who are transfers, Damon Youngblood transferred in from Louisiana Lafayette. Bryce Linder transferred from Blinn College last year. Nick Knockwash, Central Arkansas last year. Logan Wilson from ULM last year. Like, I don't have any good answers here.
Yeah.
And I think this is one where we just kind of like, we wipe our hands. We just put our hands up and say, hey, we'll spring. Tell me who's starting in the spring. Just tell me who's starting in the spring so that way I can get to know them. Because Harold West is the only one that I know that I like.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody else. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get on here and tell you about Bryce Linder. I can't. Can't do that. Not doing that. I don't even think this staff knows about Bryce Linder. I don't think this staff knows about Nick Knockwash. Like, that's what the spring is for. So I can call up Seth Luttrell and be like, hey, tell me about Bryce Linder. I could do that. But
I'm not sure that's a good look, though.
I don't think Seth wants to talk.
I need to do research for this next season. Can you please tell me about these guys?
I don't know. I think Seth would be open to do it. Seth is very, I don't know. He seems very.
I'm not saying he wouldn't be open. I'm saying it's a bad look on our part being like, hey.
Seth would do it. Shout out, Seth. And I think that's it. You asked me about kicker off air. I don't know. The only kicker on the roster is Chris Clayton, redshirt freshman from.
Hey, say his name right. Chris Caton. Okay, this guy could be the future, all right?
He could be. Also, is Bernardo Rodriguez gone at punter?
Yes.
The only punter they have on here is Sawyer Evans. So there you go. Transfer from Texas Southern. So yeah, I guess special teams will have a little bit of an overhaul. And that's it.
We did it.
That's all we got. We kind of covered what we want to learn over the spring as well while we navigated all the positions. So anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I feel like we should just go over the main points one more time. So for me, okay. Quarterback, make sure that looks good. Receivers, mm-hmm. We need to hope that, you know, they shine more than the big play. And then I think defensively, we just need to see a unit that's competent. Yeah. Those are my three things that I want to see.
No more Phil Bennett on the sideline, Colin.
What a fit. That's like a guy you dress up as Halloween for. Or just, yeah, if you went out with that shirt and stuck the play card in the front of your pants, everyone's saying, yep, Phil Bennett. Like, that's recognized. That's a look.
I put that on in Baton Rouge and I was like, hey, the Phil Bennett look.
Yep.
They were selling that when you get that one at.
Yeah.
They got the, because remember last year there was that meme of like the Party City or Halloween City, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
With all the stereotypes on the side, just put a picture of Phil Bennett there and be like, gets in fight after head coaching.
I forgot about that
game.
I forgot about that.
Dude, last year was a trip. What a trip.
It really was. It really was.
What a trip. But yeah, there you go. All right. That's all we have for y'all today. Hope y'all enjoyed it. We got a 46 minute podcast out to y'all.
Oh, sheesh.
Who does it better than us? Who does it better than us?
Other people, probably.
Nobody in the world. We're the best podcast on the Texas Republic of Football podcast network. There you go.
All right. You've heard it here first.
There you go. It's 12:03 a.m. I just want to go to sleep. This is what happens when Colin has weird sleep hours.
Actually, I work 2 to 10 p.m., so.
It's weird sleep. Weird work hours.
There you go.
Therefore, weird sleep hours. Where's Maya?
She's on the floor right here.
Okay. I haven't seen her in a while.
You haven't? I mean, you haven't been to Texas or my house specifically in a while.
I was there 3 months ago.
That's damn, a while.
That was longer ago. Okay. Well, anyways, hope you all enjoyed the podcast. Again, check us out on YouTube. This will be on our YouTube, but this will also be on the Dave Campbell's Texas football. I always keep forgetting it. Republic of Football podcast feed. So go leave a like over there. Go follow them over there. We'll have the links in the description of all that good stuff. But yeah, support the whole network. We'd really appreciate it. It would help us out a lot. Give us a good look if like North Texas people started following them. So yeah, do that. And then check back here. We'll have one of these every single week for the Republic of Football.
Jeez, come on.
Network. I'll get it. I promise. Republic of Football Podcast Network. And we'll be back after North Texas basketball plays at Sam Houston State. Yep. So be on the lookout for that as well. That will be on our podcast feed as well. So until then, we'll talk to y'all later.